And
Okay.
recording. Yes, thank you.
Well, good morning. I'm going to call to order the July 15th meeting of the Private Activity Bond Committee. We have two of the three board members present. My name is Laura Lockwood McCall. For the record, I'm
Unknown
chair.
Participant is now joining.
Jean, would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, so this is Jean Gabriel, member of the committee.
If others on the call, since we're recording this and will be posted on our website, if you'll please identify your name and your organization. Martha, why don't you start?
Martha Kellums.
Office,
is now joining.
Okay. Others on my screen, please identify yourself for the official web version of this recording.
Sure. Molly Rogers, Portland Housing Bureau.
Unknown participant is now joining.
Okay. Matthew, if you identify yourself.
Matthew Schaubold with the Portland Housing Bureau.
How do you do? Casey, if you'll identify yourself.
Casey Bauman, Oregon Housing and Community Services.
Okay. And then I see a number of unknown participants. Amanda? And then for self.
Hello, hi, I'm Amanda Saul from Home Forward.
Great. So unknown participants, if you'll just state who you are and for our record and where and what organization you represent.
Teresa Ault, Home Forward. April Berg, Home Forward.
Ben Loftus, Home Forward.
Okay, I think we've got everyone who's going to go ahead.
Oh, Hattie Iyett with Housing Community Services.
Good morning. Okay, I think we have everyone identified. Currently on the screen, I just have our agenda, but I will take it down, and then as different people want to do their presentations, my suggestion is I have a board package, and I can either put your material up, or if you'd like to take control of the screen and walk through your material, just raise your hand or let me know if that would be all right. So the first order of business, and I'm just going to scroll down to it. Martha, will you just briefly review for the committee members current allocations and the requests before us today?
Mm-hmm. At the beginning of 2020, the PAB committee had $150 million in allocation that they could award. Throughout the year, so far, the allocations approved have totaled $21,630,000. Today's request is for $4,556,103.20. If approved, the committee's balance after today will be $124,175,000.
Great. Any questions from committee members? Great. Not hearing any.
Nothing from me. Thanks, Laura.
Great. Let's turn to the request from the City of Portland. In the board package, there is an application and a request for a fairly small amount of money based on some MCC programs that were awarded in 2017. So I will turn it over to whoever from Portland Housing Bureau would like to kind of talk about this item. And if you need me to put something else on the screen besides the current application request, holler and I can either give you control or I can take mine down and you can put yours up.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if you received our PowerPoint in advance.
I don't
Martha?
Think
no.
we received
no.
anything,
okay.
so I'm going to stop
right.
sharing, and then if you know how to use Teams, you can take control by there's a box with an arrow, and you just hit the share, and then you bring it up, and all of us will see what you want to share.
Hey, I'll see if I can do this without all my notes being exposed.
And we'd appreciate a copy of the PowerPoint being sent to us for our records. Thank you.
Sounds good. Let me
Molly, I can also pull it up.
Can you do it, Matt?
And I'll move through the slides for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, everyone. Good morning, Chair Lockwood McCall and members of the Private Activity Bond, Jean Gabriel. My name is Molly Rogers, and I'm the Deputy Director of the Portland Housing Bureau. Director Shannon Callahan sent her regrets. She really wanted to be here with you today. This is really important to us, but unfortunately she got pulled away to City Council to help with the Portland CARES Act authorization. I'm joined by Matthew Schaubold, who's the PHB's Policy and Planning Manager. Next slide, Matt. We are requesting $4.56 million in a volume cap allocation of private activity bonds as a final closeout of our mortgage certificate credit program. The MCC, for short, assists low and moderate first-time home buyers to purchase and occupy a home. As you may all recall, the PAB voted last January to close out the MCC program, which we fully respect and understand the reasons for the program closeout. Unfortunately, I'm here today because we, in an effort to close down our program, we made some commitments to 19 households due to a mistake on our behalf. We misinterpreted certain language around timing of unallocated volume cap. And we made commitments to 19 households. And we're here today hoping for a final last allocation so we can ensure that those 19 households can become homeowners.
And may I ask a question just for Jean's clarification, because I have talked to the director. My understanding was we gave you an allocation, and I can't remember if it was 16 or 17, and it's considered spent from our perspective the moment we hand it to you, but it's not considered spent by the IRS, and you have that same three-year window to actually make all these tax credit allocations. So we thought when we gave it to you back at 16 or 17, we were done. And that's where the problem came, because you had 17, 18, and 19, was my understanding, to actually use the tax credits that we handed over. And it just slipped a little bit into the next calendar year. Am I characterizing it properly?
Yes. Yes, you are. We had a slight misinterpretation of the final closeout date. We thought we had an extra year, and when we realized our mistake, we stopped making commitments. But we had, unfortunately, we tried to seek other remedies, and we couldn't find any
unknown participant is now joining
other solutions for those few commitments of the 19 that happened earlier in the year. Yes, we thank you for that clarification. We're seeking support for the 19 households due to some historic racism. And I will say that MCC's program has been very effective. We know this, at reducing the homeownership gap for communities of color. We know that they've been disproportionately left out of homeownership opportunities, which has been a primary mechanism for wealth accumulation for those households. This is certainly the case nationwide. It's very much true in Portland, where we know that BIPOC households, which is Black, Indigenous, and people of color households, are 15 to 25% below white homeownership rates. Our homeownership programs at PHB are aimed at reducing a BIPOC homeownership gap. And I think that's really evident by the demographic profile of the 19 specific households. We're seeking your assistance with the MCC program for the final closeout. Those households with this final allocation are disproportionately BIPOC households as compared to those households in Portland as a whole. As you can see on this slide, we've got 36% of the MCC households are BIPOC, compared to only 22% of all households in Portland. And 15 of the MCC households are Black households, compared to only 5% of all households in Portland. Additionally, the homes that these 19 households have found are valued lower than the median home purchase value by 22%. And the average family income is significantly lower than the average income of a homeowner in Portland citywide by about 27,000. So what's really evident, I think, with these numbers is that the households would most likely not become homeowners without the tax credit. And we know that in this current environment with COVID-19, it's going to be challenging overall for those to get mortgages. So we're hoping that we can get people over those various obstacles in this environment. So we're hoping this final allocation can provide that generational wealth for these 19 households. And we humbly request that support this just as we complete the final closeout and help us get through, remedy this mistake that we had made in our part that we own. And we appreciate all the support you guys have provided us in the past and hope we can have that final 19 tax credits of the 4.5 million. Happy to answer your questions.
Thank you very much. I think you've answered my questions. Jean, do you have any questions for the Portland Housing Bureau team?
No, I don't have any questions, Laura.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you coming. I did speak to your director and said honesty is always the best policy, and I support that. I want to just go on record saying that I do support your application. Our big concern earlier this year, and the people in the Oregon Housing Community Services Department will, and Home Forward will tell you, is that we are really trying to focus what limited PAB we have on all the multifamily housing that is being built around the state, both in the metro area, but also in the more rural and parts of the state that have been underserved. So I'm going to be supportive of this. Don't know, Jean, your perspective. I'd like to hear it. We kind of have to agree, yes, because otherwise we're in a dead tie. So
yes, I am supportive of this, Laura. Can you hear me? Okay.
I can hear you great. So I'm having,
heads up that I'm having network challenges. It's telling me I have poor network connectivity. So I hope that I don't get dropped.
You sound fine. What I've done, I have poor network, is I've just had put my video, I turned off my video aspect, mm-hmm. and it seems like that leaves the audio. So for what it's worth, if you want to make a motion to approve.
Okay. One moment. Okay. I move that we approve the allocation of $4,556,103.20 for the Mortgage Credit Certificate Program for the Portland Housing Bureau.
All in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
I guess congratulations. You've got your allocation. Thank you very much for joining us. And I don't know if there's any other closing remarks other than hopefully someday we have more private activity bond allocation so that we can work for both, you know, first-time homeowners for your program as well as the other state programs. And we're going to turn now to Home Forward, who's the second item on today's calendar. And they're giving us a heads up of their plans for their balance of this calendar year and into next year. So one of the Home Forward people, if you'd like to come up to the mic, and if you do have PowerPoint or things you'd like to share, I think you can just click the share button and bring it forward. Otherwise, I don't know what's in our board package. I know you wrote us a note. Let me see. You wrote us a nice letter about your plans, and so tell me how you would prefer to proceed in terms of your letter or if you have other material.
Thank you, Laura, and committee members. This is Ben Loftus, Finance Development Manager for Home Forward. I am learning Microsoft Teams, which is why I am phoning in rather than being a little more high tech. Really, what we've got is the letter that we submitted, and that's what I'll be speaking to. So.
I will put that onto the screen then. How's that?
That would be great. Thank you.
Okay.
We've been recalling the January meeting relative to PHB, and we were last in front of this committee in January also to provide a multi-year update of some of the activity relative to our affordable housing developments and our anticipated call for volume cap in years 2020, 2021, and 2022. At that point in 2020, we had one 4% tax credit deal scheduled to close this year. It's a continuation of our preservation effort called 85 Stories. As you know, we've seen multiple groups come through this committee. Group 7 is next as far as construction start. And its construction start was scheduled for the fourth quarter of 2020, and that has now moved into 2021. So part of this is to just provide a continual update on what we said our 2020 activity was back in January, and really look ahead into 2021. So 85 Stories Group 7, when that does come to this committee, will look a lot like the previous groups of our public housing conversion rehab. We are doing a lot of work both internally and with HUD in identifying the most prudent way for us to manage our remaining exit out of public housing. At this point, we are down to about 645. We are down to 645 units of public housing. And when we started the 85 Stories Initiative, we were just over 2,100 units. So, majority of the units have already converted out of public housing and have either been rehabbed or just finishing up their rehab in the case of the most recent groups, Group 5 and Group 6. Anytime you make over the course of these years a pretty dramatic change in how our real estate is structured, we've been spending a lot of time being very thoughtful about how to take Group 7 and the remaining public housing properties out of public housing so that they can be largely preserved. But we're finding a few cases where we might have sites that are their future would be or could be redevelopment. So,
Stop you. You say their future could be redevelopment. Does that mean a mix of low income and market rate housing, or commercial development? What do you mean when you say redevelopment?
Redevelopment of new construction affordable housing.
Okay.
There's nothing in our pipeline.
So you're saying rather than rehab it, knock it down, start over. Redevelopment can mean a lot of things. Right. Okay. That's what
find a reasonable housing option for the existing households, vacate the property and and build new. And there's a lot that goes into that, obviously. And so there's a lot of work that we're doing right now to determine the best path forward. But I will say that Group 7, which was scheduled to close in Group 20 in year 2020 and is moving to 2021, will look exactly like the 85 Stories groups you've seen. These will be rehab properties. And so for the foreseeable future, and really right today, we're here to talk about what's coming up in 2021. You will see 85 Stories Group 7, and while we're doing a lot of kind of assessment of properties, Group 7 is going to be a group of properties that will be, I don't want to say simply rehab, but rehab rather than redeveloped. The rehab that we have done with the support of this committee in the past has been substantial. The amount of rehab per unit has, I think, in every group has been at least $65,000 per unit, and in many cases more than that. So Group 7 will be a substantial rehab. The residents will likely remain in place for for much of the work. Each property is going to be a little bit different depending on the scopes of work that each property needs. But we work with our own relocation staff to make sure that folks and the disruption to them that the residents that are living in those units that their disruption is minimal, and you know, we make it very clear that we want those folks to stay. So that's a quick summary of what 85 Stories Group 7 will be. We anticipate that will close in March next year, end of March. Mm-hmm. And as I'm looking at the cover letter, I'm not going to our letter that I assume you have on screen. I'm not going to read it verbatim, but we have a total project cost right now estimated at $65.7 million, and an estimated tax-exempt private activity bond allocation request of $34.7 million. And as we progress through the rest of 2020, we will be in communication with this committee and anticipate showing up on the October agenda to further discuss, you know, what our next steps are. We really want to make sure that you know what is coming, because we have a lot of deals closing in 2021 that are 4% low-income housing tax credit deals. And
but do you know, you don't anticipate having an application by the time of the October meeting, per se?
No.
At this point. Okay. Okay. And I guess Oregon Housing is aware of the project because you're going to be seeking a low-income housing tax credit from them. And there's those folks on the correct call. So you have a process that you're going to be deep involved in probably after the October meeting, but before the January meeting, right? Everything should be pretty close to being ready to go if you want to sell your bonds and close in March.
Correct. Yeah. 85 Stories Group 7 has submitted its pre-application to Oregon Housing. You know, the activity that we see coming up in 2021 starts with this Group 7. So it is the most advanced as far as pre-construction progress and evidenced by the 4% tax credit pre-application.
Do you anticipate any problems? And this is both to yourselves as well as the people at Oregon Housing, given the sudden economic recession we're in terms of being able to market your tax credits during the height of this recession. I know that was a problem in terms of people having less income tax to shelter back during the bad old days. Do you have a sense of that yet? What's the tax credit market been looking like this summer?
That's a good question. We have some experience in our pocket for the last 4 months. We were able to close a rehab of a project in downtown Portland called Fountain Place. The tax credit pricing and partnership came in before we were all starting our new quarantine and work from home practices. But but the bank stuck with us. They kept to their tax credit pricing. We closed in someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but either late March or early April. In April, and construction has continued, and so you know there's a lot of positive signs there that the activity still happens. I can speak for myself. I'm trying to stay aware of what's going on in the market, and I'm joining webinar calls to really see what the industry is saying. And one of the things that is coming up is that they generally tax credit investors will always underwrite the general partner, the developer, the sponsor, that is going to be only more true in the future.
I was mostly worried about the haircut. You know, I was thinking the haircuts that I remember several years ago, whether you might, it'll adjust the number slightly.
Yeah, I mean, the conversations that I've had is that at this point things are stable, but like predicting anything is these days. I'll quote an investor from a recent call who said, things look fine and pricing is holding steady, and all of what I say is valid up until the end of this call.
Well, I know that Oregon Housing, we've been closing other multifamily deals with income, with tax credits. So, you know, again, it's impossible for you to know the future, but the PAB need you've designed could be a little higher if the equity portion's a little lower. I'm just trying to get a context, you know, right? That's going to keep evolving for you, most likely.
It is. It is. You know, I'll say that generally these projects that we are the subject of this conversation are not quite as far ahead in pre-construction as they would typically be when we bring them to your attention. But because they are so many and all closing in 2021, we want to make sure that they are on your radar. So yes, I would expect the numbers to change a little bit from what we know them to be today.
Okay, and that's fine. But it's just making sure it goes on the record. So if they do change, you'll say, we told you so. So that's all.
So that's 85 Stories Group 7. I can quickly run down the rest of the projects, unless there's any questions or anything to add on 85 Stories Group 7.
I don't hear anything. Keep going.
Okay. So the rest of the properties are new construction projects. Starting with Southeast Powell. Southeast Powell is a project that is located on 30th and Powell. We have site control. We have a reservation of funds from our partners at Portland Housing Bureau. And the source of funds is the City of Portland Housing Bond that was passed a few years ago. And so really the site is there. The design team is assembled. The financing is committed. We don't have our financial partners yet, so that will be a good test to see how tax credit investors are pricing new construction projects. But this is, as far as urban sites, really a hard-to-beat site. It's located, you know, really city center, close in Southeast Portland, across the street from Portland Public High School. And the City of Portland Housing Bond funds come with some income restrictions that will take many of the units, not just to the tax credit 60% area median income, but down to 30% of area median income. And we'll have some units set aside, 30 units specifically set aside for permanent supportive housing.
Will you be getting some state money? Because we just recently sold, Gene and I just recently sold bonds that will include grants for permanent supportive housing. I don't know if your program qualifies.
Not on Powell, but on Baldwin, which we'll get to in a minute.
Got it.
Powell is set to be the bond issuance. The Texas and bond issuance is set to be issued by Home Forward, because we are not taking OHCS funds at this point. There certainly an allocation of 4% tax credits, but
okay.
And that because its closing date is a little further on. Right now we have a closing date in late May. OHCS has not seen a pre-application for that, but we anticipate.
Well, they get to hear about it today. The ones on the call get to hear about it now. Okay, good.
Last sentence here on this is that right now we anticipate the total project cost at $68.2 million for the 210 units of affordable housing, and the private activity bond allocation request would be $35.9 million.
Okay.
Any questions on Powell? All right, moving on into the next deal close. Oh, okay. Thanks, Jean. The next deal closing is Deakin Court. Deakin Court is a site that has 40 units of public housing. So when I spoke to earlier us having 645 units of public housing still to convert, Deakin Court represents 40 of those. And its path has always been redevelopment. So we've been working with HUD for the last really couple of years now to get the approval that we need to redevelop the site. And the reason why it has been early identified as a redevelopment site is that it is 40 units sitting on over 5 acres. So there is a lot of green space. There's a lot of vacant land, and there is the ability to build at least 40 new construction units as replacement units for the existing households around the existing buildings. And then once we get those first buildings built in our certificate of occupancy, we will move the existing residents into what is essentially the first phase of Deakin Court. And with the existing units then vacated, we will demolish those and increase the density to approximately 200 affordable housing units, all told.
What part of Portland is Deakin Court in?
It's in Northeast Portland in the Concordia neighborhood, just a couple blocks from Concordia University, which was in the news earlier this year as closing its doors. That's just a reference point for where it is. The site will have... is not anticipated to have any sort of connection to Concordia University.
I'm taking it's near good transit and things like that. So it's,
yeah,
it's a good location to put a lot more housing?
Yes, it is in inner Northeast Portland, and a lot of what is a big factor in not only redeveloping Deakin Court, but as I mentioned before, the potential to redevelop some other sites that we own is the City of Portland approved something called Better Housing by Design, which in a lot of areas of the City of Portland increases the density for housing to be built. When Deakin Court was built in the early 70s at 40 units, it may have very well been appropriate considered the density goals of the city, but with the Better Housing by Design passing at the beginning of this year, the ability to supply the city with additional affordable housing units is
sure.
Just not something that we are choosing to ignore. It's something that we're choosing to embrace. So right now there's a pretty robust community engagement committee that is meeting with residents virtually, meeting with neighbors, so that there is community input and opportunity for them to learn about and provide feedback that really will affect the design in a way that is conducive to what the existing households and the neighbors are seeking. That's Deakin Court. It is the first time that we're bringing to this committee a public housing property that is not being renovated but rather redeveloped.
Columbia. Sure. Right, long ago.
That's very true. Thank you for reminding me about that. And we often call this a mini Hope Six. The New Columbia and Stevens Creek and Humboldt Gardens projects were a HUD program called Hope Six, and we are often referred to Deacon Court as a mini Hope Six. So it does not have the Hope Six HUD support that those properties did. What this site does have is the Metro housing bond support.
Good.
And so it will, at the all told, when the approximately 200 units are developed and occupied, over half of those will have an income restriction below the tax credit rent at zero, at 60% of AMI. So this property will really serve you know, very low income Oregonians in you know, what is going to be very, very nice, new, safe, affordable housing. And to go back to your question about the transportation, there, I live in the Concordia neighborhood, and so I know very well that there is only one frequent service bus line, and its destination is Deacon Court. So right now there is a building that sits outside of the housing on the site that has a restroom that years ago we partnered with TriMet to help encourage that a frequent service bus line serve Deacon Court. And so there's a place for the drivers to take a break as they can as they hit the end of that line. So
once you've built this, hopefully that will be more frequent and that will be good for you personally. So you'll have more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
But okay, yeah, it does have frequent service. You know, and certainly one of the big conversation points that we're currently having with the existing households in the community surrounding Deacon Court is around parking and transportation. So yes, we are certainly focused on that right now.
Okay, and then the last one I see on your sheet is North Baldwin, which I asked, I guess, about permanent supportive housing.
Yeah, so North Baldwin, we're bringing it to this to the committee, even though this is not going to be a home forward bond issuance. So you will we can keep you abreast of this as you desire, but this is the one 2021 closing that is really heavily supported by OHCS and. The future steps will have OHCS as the tax exempt bond issuer. This is a site that we own on North Interstate on the MAX light rail line, and we've owned it for a few years, and it is we bought it with an eye on developing the site. Once we could find an appropriate program to pair with this, and the Oregon Housing Program that is partnering with the Oregon Health Authority to supply permanent supportive housing is that program, and so at the end of the day, this will be approximately 60 units. Of all permanent supportive housing. It is the furthest out from closing at this point in 2021, but we anticipate the total project cost to be $20.2 million and the tax exempt bond need would be just over $11.1 million and it's scheduled to close right now in mid-August of next year.
Wow. You all are very busy. We know that housing is finally really starting to happen. So your presentation just confirms, because Gene and I sold bonds for the state side for both the LIFT program and for the permanent supportive housing in the month of June. So we knew that all the housing projects were going to start coming through the pipeline, and you've just evidenced how hard you all have been working to get that actually the money out the door. So it's real exciting. I know you guys are super busy, and I'm really pleased and very proud of you guys. I hope we can keep to the schedule, because right now is a good time to be in the bond market. Interest rates are low. Hopefully you can sell your bonds while interest rates are low. And it's also going to mean a lot of construction jobs for people who are working, as well as housing for residents in the Portland area. So this is great. Any comments from committee member Gabriel or other folks on the line from Oregon Housing?
Laura, this is Jean. I don't have any comments, but I do just want to say thank you to Home Forward for providing this update, as it's really helpful to understand what your plans are. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. This is the time, unless there's any other comments from anyone else for public comments for our meeting. Raise your hand. Hearing none, I'm going to, unless you have anything else, Ben, you want to add, we look forward to hearing from you in October. There may be a different person who's chair, because I'm retiring in September. So I may or may not be back for, depending on who they hire, I might still be on a temporary contract in October. But it's important that it gets in the record. That's why I asked the questions that I knew the answers to, because I wanted to make sure that whoever fills my slot in the future for Treasury has good information. And it's been a pleasure working with all of you. That's all I can say. So with that, I'm going to end the meeting.
Congratulations.
Well, I know you're shocked, but life happens. I am old. So, yeah, they're in the process of looking for the person who will be sitting in my chair. And so I'm sure it'll all go smoothly. We have a great group of people in Oregon who work together in affordable housing. And, the die has been cast for the future of this committee and what we're going to focus on. And, I'm really glad to see so much going on. I think that's just going to be a good future for us all. So with that, I'm going to end the meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time today.
Okay.